Well, good evening. Good evening. I'm glad you come. Could not be a more appropriate song for our lesson tonight, Raised to Walk in Newness of Life. We talked this morning about the crucifixion, and tonight we're going to talk about the resurrection because they are equally important as ideas in Scripture. And the idea of because he lives comes from the idea that our Savior, even though he died, he rose again, and he is alive. It's not that he rose again in AD 30 and was alive at that period of time. He is alive as we speak in heaven. He is the eternal life. He is our Savior. Amen? Amen. Take your book, your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 6. That's where we'll begin tonight. Romans chapter 6. This lesson, along with this morning's and the bulletin article, were intended to kind of be a Big Mac of talking about Jesus' life, death, and burial, and resurrection. We talked about the reality of his crucifixion this morning. We'll talk about the reality of his resurrection tonight. And then in our bulletin article, we talked about the intermediate place called Hades or Sheol in the Old Testament. So if you did not get a chance to read the bulletin article, please do. And we hope it's of benefit to you. Our title comes from this passage in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. Because as real as it is that Christ died, it's just as real that he rose from the dead. And there's nothing that symbolizes that or embodies that more than our death, burial, and resurrection in baptism. Verse 4 of Romans chapter 6. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Take a look at that verse again. See the word certainly? We sing a song called Blessed Assurance. Why are we assured of our salvation? One of the reasons we're assured of our salvation within churches of Christ is we teach the scripture on immersion. We teach that faith and repentance are important, but that baptism is necessary for salvation. We can pinpoint that and say that is the moment in which our sins were washed away. There are other religious groups that base it on a feeling or maybe some idea or a whim that they had at one time. That's not a blessed assurance. They can't point to that and make it concrete like a date and an event like we can with baptism. And that's what God intended us to do. Our baptism is welcoming into the body of Christ. We go down into the death of Christ. We're buried with Christ in baptism. And we come up to walk a new life. Well, what does that mean? We talked this morning about crucifying the flesh and doing away with all the old things in our life and doing new things. Well, that is the resurrection life. That is the spiritual resurrection that we have on this earth. Now, don't get me wrong. There's only one resurrection of the body. When we die, Christ will come again and our bodies will be resurrected and we'll face the judgment. But this resurrection is one from death spiritually, from death in our sins to life in the world. So what we're going to talk about is that new life and why we walk it. And the reason that we walk in the new life is we are assured that indeed the crucifixion is real. Take a look at the book of Luke in chapter 23. Luke 23. We did the same thing this morning. It matters if we're going to talk about a spiritual reality to prove that the crucifixion this morning was real. Well, the crucifixion is real. So is the resurrection. These are not some stories that we tell each other. This is not some fairy tale that we tell others to try and convince them to have faith in Christ. It's why we have faith in Christ. God was telling us once for all time, this is my son. Jesus is the Son of God. And he was proving that we can have eternal life. We can go to heaven just as he did. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. Luke chapter 23, verse 33, please. It says, and when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus was crucified in reality. It was a real event that took place to a real man in space and time. Jesus was both God and man. And because he was both God and man, he could take on our sins. He could live a life. He could judge sin as completely sinful because he lived a sinless life. He knows what it means to resist temptation further than we do. We might think of something in our life that we give into, something that's a difficult temptation for us, and we say, man, I really tried, but it just overcame me. I don't know what it's like to try and overcome every sin in my life. But Jesus does, and he did. And because of that, his crucifixion is real because his body was real and his temptation was real. So Jesus is crucified. It's always amazed me that in the Gospels, we're so used to the long, drawn-out descriptions of Jesus' death and his flogging. In the Scriptures, it just simply says, they crucified him. Well, as real as the crucifixion is, tonight we're talking about the resurrection. And for that, I'll have you go over one chapter to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 1. We'll read Luke 24, verses 1 through 7. The Word of God says this. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living with the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee. Why do you seek the living with the dead? You don't look for Jesus in a graveyard. You don't look for Jesus in a tomb. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Because he lives today, because he is alive today, we have hope that even if we die before he comes, that we too can rise and go to heaven. The same God that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in us, Romans chapter 8 tells us, will raise us again from the dead. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that you would be resurrected and go to heaven, probably the problem is not that your faith in yourself, but your faith in God and your faith in the reality of the resurrection. The reality of the resurrection. Go back to Romans chapter 6 for just a moment. Because everything that we are is based in the resurrection. If there were no resurrection from the dead, there's no reason to be here tonight. Because Jesus would not be who he says he was, and we would have no reason to follow him. Take a look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. We'll read verses 9 through 14. It reads like this. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members as sins to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God for those who have been brought from death to life and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under law but under grace. As surely as I believe Christ rose from the dead, I believe I will be raised from the dead. And as surely as Christ died for my sins, I believe that I'll be forgiven. Notice there what he says in verses 9 and 10. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Do you know that death no longer has dominion over you? We read Hebrews chapter 2 last week. Yes, we will die. There's the potential that we will die. But we have no fear of death. I don't have to fear death when I've been forgiven. I don't have to fear death when I'm in the grace of God. I don't have to fear death when I've been buried into Christ's death and raised to walk in newness of life. My resurrection is similar to his. Just as I believe Christ's life will never end, I believe mine will never end. Now, there are other people in the Bible other than Jesus who were resurrected. Lazarus, Jesus resurrected him. Jesus also resurrected the son of the widow of Nain. We know Enoch was a man who walked with God, and God took him, for he was not. And Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. But I want you to look at that last line there. Jesus is the only man recorded in Scriptures to have died, been resurrected, and never die again. Never die again. Jesus is the unique eternal life. He is the one. When he says he comes to give life, he has it to possess. He's overcome Satan. He's overcome death. He stands alone as both the resurrector and the resurrected and the eternal life. I love how John puts it in 1 John chapter 1. Turn over there if you don't mind, please. 1 John chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 and 2. I love this phrase. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. What a phrase. Jesus is not just living eternal life. He is the eternal life. He is the life giver. He is the life supporter. All things work together for him. He is the one who keeps this world turning. He is who keeps us alive. He is the Word of God. He is the eternal life. And notice John doesn't say this from a secondhand account. We're talking about the reality of the crucifixion, the reality of the resurrection. John was a man and an eyewitness of Christ. Look at how real he was. He touched him. He saw him. Look at verse 1 again. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, and have touched with our hands. The resurrected Jesus was real. We know that John believed. We know that Peter believed. We know that Thomas believed. Brother Bubba Garner gave such, I thought that was a wonderful lesson. It was one of my favorites, talking about Thomas and his faith. How many of us would have been in the same boat? Probably all of us. But John says, I'm not talking about a ghost here. I'm not talking about a vision. I'm talking about the real Jesus. We've held him and beheld him. And he is the eternal life. So if Jesus, who has been resurrected never to die again, is our Savior, if he has promised us that he will welcome us to a heavenly home, we can put our faith in it. Because John saw in reality both the crucifixion and the resurrection. Well, what does it mean to be resurrected in this life? Notice that this is very similar to what we talked about this morning. These two things go together on purpose. We talked about crucifying the flesh, crucifying the lust of the flesh this morning. Well, if I crucify the flesh, I can't just I stay there. I have to do something else. Well, this new self, this new life, is the new life that I walk in new birth. As I come from the cross, as I come from the grave, and I'm resurrected spiritually. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Slowly but surely. Sorry about that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 reads like this. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Notice he's basing this off of the reality of our being raised again. If you have been raised with Christ, if you have been baptized, if you have taken part in his death and his resurrection. When we baptize someone, it proves our faith in those things. If we don't believe in the crucifixion, if we don't believe in the tomb, if we don't believe in the resurrection, then why do we baptize people? Paul says we baptize people into Christ's death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we are to walk to newness of life. In the book of Colossians, he says, if then you have been raised with Christ. If we've been raised with Christ, it means we should live a certain way. We've crucified the flesh. We don't put on the old man of sin and death. We look for the new man of virtue and of faith. Look at verse 12 of the same chapter. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. You'll notice there's a list of sins. For this particular lesson, I intentionally overlooked that. We talked about that this morning, and that had to do with crucifying the flesh. But now we're talking about the new life. The flesh should be behind us. We want to crucify those things. We don't want those things to linger. As true Christians, we should be striving towards the goals of these verses. Verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Notice he begins the chapter with saying, if you've been raised with Christ. What he's saying there is, I know you've come up a newborn babe. When a child comes out of the womb, does it have clothes on? No. In fact, if you've got that story, we need to get it to the tabloids quickly. A child is not born with clothes. They're born naked. They have to put on clothes. They have to put on the new self. In the same way, when we crucify the flesh and we put all those things behind us, we now have new things to add. We add the new life. We are clothed with the new life. Look at what he says there in verse 12. Put on then, as if you put on a coat, God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. These virtues are what the Christian is to add to the new life. We come into the new life as babes in Christ. We come in and we're not clothed with righteousness. We're not clothed with the faith that we will have. We have faith, but Lord willing, we will increase in faith as we live, as we walk in the faith, as we believe that there is a God, as we believe that there is a Jesus, as we live our life as if God is serious, as if we take his Bible seriously. Do we take the Word of God seriously? People will know by how we live. People will know by what we put on after we've crucified what we've put away. So Christianity is a true conversion. It is a true change from a mindset on carnal things and earthly things to a mindset on Christ. And where is Christ? He is in heaven from where we await a Savior. So we put on not sinful things, but joyous things. Think of these, and I can't help but think of the Beatitudes here. Look at these words he uses. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Do those mark the world? No. They mark the Christian. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that in him we might have salvation and not destruction. God loves us. Jesus loved us enough to really die for us, to really take the pain of the cross, and to really be resurrected. And he shines that light. He guides our path. He's leading us home. Do you want to go to heaven? You can. You can live a new life. No matter what your sin is in your life, you can be forgiven of it. I mean that as sincerely as I can mean anything. It doesn't matter what it is. The blood of Jesus Christ is powerful enough to forgive you. If you're in this audience tonight and you think to yourself, well, Jesus can't really love me. Yes, he can. God can love you because you put your faith in his Son. That pleases him beyond our ability to express it. You put your faith in the Son of God and you watch God go to work in your life as he forgives you and he strengthens you to walk the new life, resurrected from spiritual death and walking in the light of Jesus Christ. If you've never become a Christian, we would like for that to happen to you tonight. We can put your faith into action in repentance and confession. We can baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are in sin and you need to repent and you need to walk in that new life more firmly, we also can help with prayer and with encouragement. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and we sing.